Good morning, and welcome to Trinity on this blustery day. We are so grateful that you are here. Glad you're inside enjoying some of the coffee and tea inside where it is warmer. I'm Catherine Flux Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity, and we do want to welcome you to worship today. You'll notice that by each of the exit doors there are boxes, and those are our Trinity mission boxes. And today our mission box offering is for Habitat for Humanity. You all are probably familiar with Habitat for Humanity and the way that homeowners and others invest in a piece of property and work on that home, building it so that a family can move in and be home secure, moving from homelessness or renting to home ownership and being home secure. So I invite you to be generous with your mission box offering this morning as you leave. You'll also notice that there is a sheet inside your bulletin that looks like this, and it says caring and support at the top. For the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at the book of Job and pondering how what we mean when we say why God, and how God provides hope in the darkness. And so this sheet has different opportunities that we have here at Trinity to help you when you are going through a difficult time, from grief support to a student minister who becomes a listening friend for you, cancer support groups, etc. So I invite you to take a look at this, and if you could benefit from any of these ministries, please just reach out and let us know. Inside that caring and support pamphlet there is a Trinity Connection card, and we have those in the bulletins each week, and we invite you to fill that out for us. If you'll provide at least your name and email address, that sure is helpful to us. If you're brand new and could provide more information, we sure would appreciate that as well. It helps us to be able to get connected and stay connected with you. You can place those in the offering plates later in the service or hand those to the ushers as they are receiving the offering this morning. So just hold on to it, but we appreciate you filling it out. If you have the Trinity app, you can also fill out the connection card online. As we worship here, we hope that Trinity is or becomes a place where you feel at home and where you can find a home in Christ. And so each week we begin the service saying, it's great to be, welcome home. It is great for all of us to be home. So welcome. And let me invite you to stand up and introduce yourself to someone near you. Look for somebody that you don't know and get to know them this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able? And let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn.
To rule the day, the
God, we worship you in awe and wonder. You are the author of all beginnings and all that is pronounced good. And you both day and night have purpose, both calm and storm have meaning. Open our eyes that we may be ready to receive your gifts and witness to your love through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing and join me in the Apostles' Creed. We say that together, and as we say it together, we are affirming our faith together. Some of us that may be weaker or having struggles, and some who may be stronger, yet there is strength when we affirm our faith together. So join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
As we move into a time of prayer together as a community, I want to lift up a couple of celebrations for you and some other things as well. First of all, we have pre-baptisms at the 9:40 service, and we celebrate that new life and those new beginnings in faith. Also, this week, we celebrate Lenora going before the Board of Ordained Ministry in order to become a United Methodist minister, be an elder and full connection and serving the church. You have to go before the Board of Ordained Ministry. You write a lot of paperwork, and if you pass, then you are recommended for ordination, and you will serve as a United Methodist pastor, likely for the rest of your life. So in terms of this academic community, it's kind of like comparing it to writing your dissertation and getting tenure all at the same time. And we celebrate the fact that Lenora was recommended for ordination and will be ordained in June. We give thanks for that and her ministry among us. Aaron went through that process, and he was the associate pastor here. And then Lenora has been going through that process, and she became an associate pastor here as well. And many of you know that Aaron became a Navy chaplain and left in September. And he has received a shore duty appointment, which means that he will be in San Antonio for the next 3 years. And because of that, Lenora is going to leave sooner than anticipated. She shared this in the pastor's message a little over a week ago. So instead of staying through the end of May, Lenora indicates that we're needing to go with Aaron at the end of February. That is hard for us, and we will miss Lenora and Aaron and the family, and yet we know that this is a good thing for their family. And so we give thanks for that opportunity for them. We'll have a celebration for Lenora at the end of February before she leaves, and we'll give you more information about that. I also want to invite you to be in prayer for these folks whose names you see on the screen.
go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll be back. It is you who laid the foundations of the earth. It is you who made heaven. You command the morning and cause the light to dawn. We place our trust and confidence in your abiding presence. We give you thanks today for your grace and that you have called us to be your children and that we rest in your hands. You have blessed us with many gifts, with life, with relationships, the joy and peace of our salvation, and with hope in you as the Redeemer of all things. We celebrate the baptisms we share this morning, and we celebrate Nora's ordination and the reuniting of her family in the next few weeks. Loving God, we also look to you in the uncertainties of life. For all those times when we feel threatened by the concerns and confusions of life. We pray for those who are mourning loss, for those who are the victims of violence, for all those places in our world where people are brokenhearted and suffering from war and violence. We know that you are with us during this time. We have confidence in our hope and belief that you hold the future in your hands and that we can always trust in your care of all things. Hear us now as we seek your blessing. Travel with us, we pray, guiding us and strengthening us for what lies ahead. The unknown future sometimes concerns us, especially when there are frightening influences all around. But despite these fears, you give us confidence that we never walk alone. You have promised to lead us into the joy of your presence, always by our side, leading us into life in all its fullness. Thank you for your amazing love. In the name of Christ, we pray, and we pray as you tell us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
The King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I love thee, magnify.
as a way of both honoring and giving thanks to God for all that God is, and as a way of continuing the ministry here at Trinity. Will you join me in prayer as we go to the Lord in our time? Good and gracious God, we thank you for these gifts, these financial gifts, and the offerings that are being made. May you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, that they be seeds for your kingdom's work. We thank you for the ways that you have used Trinity over the decades to be a beacon of hope and a place of refuge for so many. As these offerings are given, Lord, continue to inspire all of those here with new dreams for the future of how you intend to use this community to continue the work of your mission among those here in Gainesville and far beyond. And may they do so for your glory.
Thank you. Why God is based on the book of Job. So a couple of weeks ago, we started by looking at the prologue, that section where the question begins to be asked, whose fault is it anyway when bad things happen or when there's suffering? And then last week, Lenora invited you to consider some of the ways in which we wrestle with that, and as human beings, we ask questions and we try to make sense and rationalize things and even offer answers. And sometimes, with the best of intentions, we have said to others or others have said to us things that weren't particularly helpful in the midst of suffering. And so today, we finally get to that moment in Job where we hear from God again. Now, we are at the 38th chapter today. So it's been a long time since the prologue when we heard God's voice. But we're gonna get there today. Before we do, I want to invite you to pray with me as we prepare to listen. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this speaker. They might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this day. Amen. A few years ago, when Catherine and I were serving in the Gulf Central District of the Florida Conference, I was invited to participate in a fundraising event. We were looking to raise money as a district for the Nothing But Net campaign. This was an effort by the Global United Methodist Church in conjunction with the NBA to raise awareness about malaria and also to raise money to help those who were suffering from malaria. And so somebody in our district, there was a team that came together to put together this fundraising idea, and they came up with the idea of an exhibition basketball game. Seems like it fit based on the effort that we were seeking to support. And so somebody learned that we might be able to get somebody to come in and do an exhibition game with some people in the district. And as it turned out, they made connection with the Harlem Globetrotters Legends. Now, this is a group of men who had played for the Globetrotters and were still active. They weren't playing for the Globetrotters touring with them, but they toured as a group of legends and traveled around and played exhibition games against groups of people. And so, in our case, it was some of the pastors and other staff members from churches, as well as some members of churches from around the district. And the idea was that if we put a team together that was made up of people from all the different churches, then more people would come, and the support for the effort would be great. So it was a lot of fun, let me tell you. Now, when the Harlem Globetrotters legends come to town to play a basketball game, they are the stars of the show. And the role of all of us who were on the court with them was to just help support the show, right? We were there to just be a part of the show and to help others have a good time watching the stars of the show. And for the most part, all of us who were asked to participate in that event, we understood our role. However, there was one young man on our team who seemed to think that this was going to be his night to be the star of the show. And he was, as you can imagine, way out of his league. He is on the court with Harlem Globetrotters legends. And it was one of those moments where, like, you wanted to turn away, but you also couldn't help but look. Poor guy. I mean, you just wanted to be embarrassed for him. And I just want to say, dude, stay on your level. Well, if you can imagine that moment, you can begin to get a sense of what today's scripture reading is going to kind of be like. Because you see, now we are at the moment where after 35 chapters of Job and his friends saying all kinds of things, trying to figure out, trying to explain, trying to make sense of what is going on with Job and why he is suffering, we're finally going to hear from God in chapter 38. But for those 35 chapters, you know, sometimes as I read through those and all the things that they say, I kind of imagine God just shaking God's head. And maybe even leaning in at some point and, you know, tapping fingers on a cloud and saying, are you done yet? So then finally God speaks up. Oh my goodness, when God speaks up, is it a beast? God's really just getting started. And he's going to keep going for three more chapters in his speech to Job. It is the longest single speech by God contained anywhere within the Bible. So let's take a look. You're welcome to follow along on the screen as I read for us from chapter 3. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this darkening counsel with words lacking knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man. I will interrogate you, and you will respond to me. And notice that right there, God has now flipped the script. For 35 chapters, it's been Job and his friends asking the questions, demanding an audience before God. And now when God speaks up, says, okay, now I'm going to ask the questions, and you get to answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you know. Who set its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring tape on it? On what were its footings sunk? Who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang in unison and all the divine beings shouted. Who enclosed the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, the dense clouds its wrap? When I imposed my limit for it, put a bar and doors and said, you may come this far, no farther. Here your proud ways stop. In your lifetime, have you commanded the morning, informed the dawn of its place so it would take hold of earth by its edges and shake the wicked out of it? Do you turn it over like clay for a seal so it stands out like a colorful garment? Light is withheld from the wicked, the uplifted arm broken. Have you gone to the sea's sources, walked in the chamber of the deep? Have death's gates been revealed to you? Can you see the gates of deep darkness? Have you surveyed earth's expanses? Tell me if you know everything about it. Where is the road to the place where light flows? Darkness, where is it located? Can you take it to its territory? Do you know the path to its house? You know, for you were born there. You have lived such a long time, Job. And I feel like at that moment, God probably could have just done a mic drop. The guy keeps going. Have you gone to snow's storehouses, seen the storehouses of hail that I have reserved for a time of distress, for a day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where light is divided up, the east wind scattered over earth? Who cut a channel for the downpours and a way for blasts of thunder to bring water to uninhabited land? A desert with no human to saturate dry wasteland and make grass sprout. Has the rain a father who brought forth drops of dew? From whose belly does ice come? Who gave birth to heaven's frost? Water hardens like stone, the surface of the deep thickens. Can you bind Pleiades' chains or loosen the reins of Orion? Can you guide the stars at their proper times, lead the bear with her cubs? Do you know heaven's laws, or can you impose its rule on earth? Can you issue an order to the clouds so that their abundant waters cover you? Can you send lightning so that it goes and then says to you, I'm here? Who put wisdom in remote places? Or who gave understanding to it? Who is wise enough to count the clouds, and who can tilt heaven's water containers so that dust becomes mud and clods of dirt and heat? Can you hunt prey for the lion or fill the cravings of lion cubs? They lie in their den, lie in ambush in their lair. Who provides food for the raven when its young cries to God move about without food? This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's just getting started. God's still got three more chapters to go. When we get God's answer here, beginning with chapter 38, what we realize is that we don't really get an answer. probably expecting. Instead, we get questions. Who is this darkening counsel with words lacking knowledge? And God just keeps peppering Job with questions. Who are you? Where were you when? Have you commanded? Can you do this? Job and his friends have been trying to make sense of things. And in the process of doing that, they need Job's experience to fit into one of the boxes that they have neatly created for themselves. And within that box, the way everything makes sense is to be driven by either or thinking, forced choices. Either this is true or that is true. So a couple of examples of that from this story are that part of what's lurking in the background is this idea that either God has the power to do something about Job's sufferings and just doesn't care enough to do it, or God cares a lot about Job and his suffering but doesn't have the power to do something about it. Another either-or example that's going on in this story is that, as we looked at last week with Lenora, either Job has sinned, and therefore he deserves what has come to him because it is some kind of punishment and retribution, or Job hasn't and is blameless, and in that case there's been a terrible miscarriage of justice, and God should swoop in and do something to fix it. Job and his friends have created a theological sandbox, and they want God to play inside that sandbox. And so they want an audience before him to answer the questions that they have and to respond to why things aren't going the way that makes sense. The problem, of course, is that he and his friends are limited by their human capacity. Like that too, aren't we? We want answers on our terms. We want things to make sense inside the boxes for meaning that we have created for ourselves. But friends, here's the truth. We are like grasshoppers in the presence of the wonders of the God of the universe. And God's response reveals today for us just how small the sandbox was that Job and his friends were trying to confine God. But here's the thing. When God responds, he invites Job to make a shift in his thinking. Theologian and preacher Tom Long says that when we get to the book of Job, the overarching question we are being asked to confront is, do we want to be God, or do we want to trust the one who is God? You see, when we create our own little boxes and expect or have to have everything fit inside our boxes of meaning, then we are really deciding to be God or to play God ourselves, as if we know what is right and what is just and what should and should not happen. God's response invites Job to make a shift in his thinking. On the one hand, as you were listening today or as you have read this passage before, you may have thought, God sure sounds insensitive in that passage. Maybe even a little edge of sarcasm. like that. Why won't you let me? There are questions that come along the way from our kids, and they are seeking answers from us, but the answers that they want are not ultimately the answers that they need or the answers that will satisfy. And so sometimes in those moments, as parents, we have to decide that we're simply not going to answer that question as it's given. And instead we say to our children, so what Job needs is a new perspective, an enlarged perspective. And so God invites him to consider in chapters 38 through 41 just how much he doesn't know. And here's the good news paradox that is going on in this moment. The God who self-described is infinitely beyond Job's grasp. God who at that very moment is intimately present with Job. The God who has caretaking responsibilities for all that has been created is right there with Job, present in the moment. Job, who wanted to hear from God, actually does. God, maybe not what he was anticipating or what he thought he wanted, and yet there is real presence. About 10 years ago, my covenant group, at that time it was a group of five of us who were pastors serving Methodist churches here in Florida, we gathered for our spring retreat. And Chuck was one of our covenant brothers at that time, and he was the one that we referred to as the wise sage. He was about 15 years older than I was, and I was the next oldest in the group, so there was a good bit of age separation. We loved having Chuck as a part of our group. At that particular retreat, we noticed that Chuck just didn't seem to feel quite right. He just seemed to fatigue faster than we would have expected, and he was talking a lot. And when we asked him about it, he said, well, you know, it's been lingering for a couple of weeks now. Maybe I'll make an appointment with the doctor when I get back home. And he said, yeah, maybe you should do that, Chuck. And so we did, and within a couple of weeks, we got word from Chuck that there was a reason why he did not feel well. He had been diagnosed with lung cancer. A man who had never smoked. The gentlest, kindest, loving people I've known. A man who in his 50s said yes to ordained ministry and left his life in the corporate world to respond to serving a local church in the Miami area. Chuck was dying with lung cancer. And as days and then weeks went by, we all knew that the journey was probably not going to last very long. His condition deteriorated quickly, and so one day, not long before the end, the rest of us were able to go down to his home in Miami to spend a little bit of time with each other. And by that time, he was so weak that the only move he could make each day was from his bed to a recliner that was there in his bedroom. Linda would bring things back to his bedroom for meals. And so when we got there, after we sat with Linda for a little bit, we all walked back into the bedroom and we gathered around Chuck. And by that time, we had all, believe me, we had all wrestled with the why questions. We had all been praying and hoping that somehow, someway, it might be different. By the time we got to that day, it was just time to did, our eyes were drawn toward where he was pointing, and there was a picture on the wall right behind him, and it was a rendering of that scene in the Gospels where the disciples are in a boat on the water, and a storm comes up, and they are terrified, and then Jesus comes. It's not that we shouldn't try to make some sense or have some understanding. And it's not that God can't handle our questions with why. God certainly can and welcomes them. But then there comes a time when we all must simply fall silent. And we must live with the mystery of all that we cannot know. And in the midst of it,
disciples gathered with Jesus for the day of getting crucified. 3 days later, rise from the dead. There was no way they could have known what was about to happen, but they gathered for this meal of remembering God's saving grace to Israel in Exodus. And in that, they were surrounding Jesus with hope that Jesus was going to bring salvation, which they fully expected would be. Full well, that is not at all how God plans to save not just Israel, but all of us. That it would be through the cross and through the resurrection that there would be no military victory, but there would be an eternal victory for all human time. And that through the cross and resurrection, we would be able to experience the beauty and the grace of God being able to take all that is broken and left in this world. Jesus knew that the next day, as he was hanging on the cross, his disciples would be wondering, why, Lord, why? And they would not have gotten the answers they expected. And so he gives us this meal, this reminder that when we ask why, we can trust that God is intimately present with us. And that because disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do, do it in remembrance." Let's pray. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread and cup, that it may be for us the body of Christ that redeems and restores and renews and recreates us to be the body of Christ out in the world. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, make us one with you and one in ministry to all the world until you come again in final victory. And oh, what a day that will be when we feast together around your heavenly banquet. Through the power of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your church, help us lean deeply into your infinite presence and embrace the holy mystery of all that you are, knowing that now and forever, in the name of Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to be serving with us to go ahead and come forward now and prepare their offerings. And as they're getting things ready, I'll just share with you that in United Methodist Church and here at Trinity, you do not need to be a member of our church or any church to come and participate in this meal. This is the Lord's table, and Christ invites each and every one of us to come and to respond to that invitation to know and taste it and see that God is good and that God is with us, and that we may not always get the answers that we're seeking, but we can trust the God who is holding all together. And so as you come forward, you're going to be invited to begin at the front of your section and then make your way to the back. You'll come out the left side of your section. Come forward and someone will tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. You can cup your hands to receive that. And then take that piece of bread and dip it into the cup. And then you can eat that. If you need gluten-free, we have that. Just let us know. We're happy to serve you. And after you've received elements, you are welcome to come and kneel and pray if you would like on either side, or you can return by the right side of your section to sing and to the people of the Holy Spirit has. Christ welcomes you, always ready. So come.
go before and you will follow behind us in Christ Jesus.
From this place today, may you